For more than 15 years, Ensemble Theatre Cincinnati has sustained a holiday tradition of fairy tale musicals created with families in mind. ETC has commissioned these shows with scripts by local playwright Joe McDonough and songs by composer David Kaiser. They are typically classic stories given a fresh, modern spin with contemporary references. Several of them have been repeated, but this year, ETC is dusting off a 1999 script for the first time. It's Around the World in 80 Days. It opens this week for Cincinnati audiences. Here tonight to talk about the show are actors Ken Early, who is playing Phileas Fogg, a mysterious, brilliant, mathematically precise Englishman, and Michael Bath as Passepartout, his wily valet. Welcome to Around Cincinnati, gentlemen.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. I hope we're not interrupting your Around the World progress.
Actually, we just got out of rehearsal, and we were just saying 10 minutes ago we were in Japan, and I was just recovering from a hangover and being beat up.
So this is a good time off for you.
Then. It's a great time off. Perfect timing
All
for
right.
me.
Jules Verne's adventurous novel is the basis for this show, but the story is told with music and, as you might surmise from what Michael just said, with a lot of humor, too. So it's really, in many ways, a whole new work. The basic story is there, but often a lot of fun directions. Michael, you've appeared in a lot of Ensemble Theatre's holiday shows, and I understand you were in this one in 1999.
Absolutely, playing the same role.
Playing the same role. So has the show changed? Has the role changed? I mean, obviously, the basics are the same, but...
It has. There's a few things, that little wrinkles that were in the script from last time that, as we were going through it this time, found, and they've ironed those out, added a couple of other things that should smooth everything and actually make it a little bit funnier.
Ken, you've not been in this production, this show, previously, but you've done now a couple of the holiday shows
there.
How are you enjoying this one compared with the others that you've been in?
This is a little bit more pressure.
Because you're sort of in the main role, aren't
you? That's correct.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I am.
Tell me a little bit about this. How do you like the role that you're playing? What kind of character is Phileas Fogg?
Phileas Fogg is very meticulous. He is an excellent timekeeper and a numbers man. And for me personally, I'm not as meticulous as he is, but I enjoy playing that role.
Probably easier than being that way.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Michael, the role that you're playing, Passepartout, he's a servant. He sort of facilitates, sometimes gets in the way. But does his name mean something in particular?
Do you know, I've never looked that up. I have no idea what Passepartout is. I don't speak any French, but I've made fun of lots of Frenchmen.
Well, perhaps one of them now will let you know what it means. I actually did look it up, and here's what I learned, that it means an access to everything, like a master key.
That's a perfect name, yeah.
So
he's kind of a your man Friday. He's kind of a valet, does everything that he can to help facilitate
things. Opens doors,
things.
Makes the arrangements,
Phyllis,
all
yes,
that sort of thing. So I guess Jules Verne knew what he was talking about there.
Thank God he did.
So it's 1899, and Phileas Fogg has wagered his considerable fortune that the world can now be circumnavigated in a mere 80 days. Tell us a little bit about what gets in the way of actually accomplishing that. I'll ask each of you to perhaps give me an example or two.
Well, right off the bat, in the first day, they miss a train, and he's calculated everything very specifically, and this could be done. And day one, they make it to France and miss their train and have to come up with an alternate plan.
And the alternate plan requires speeding things up, too, then, I suppose.
Absolutely. We have to get over the Alps, so we decide to take to the air.
Does that involve a balloon?
At least one balloon, yes.
Probably a number of balloons,
yes.
Actually.
Ken, what other challenges are faced along the way here?
Other challenges is a jungle that we have to navigate our way through, and we find a lovely, huge elephant to take us through it.
For those of you who may know Ensemble Theatre, it's an intimate space.
Yes.
How are we bringing an elephant on stage?
Joe Kovacs, who is our master puppeteer, he brings the elephant to life.
Joe is someone who I remember from his younger days. Mm-hmm. He's been around here in town since he was a teenager, at least, making great magic with puppets and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Is he doing more than an elephant?
He's an elephant. He's also doing the dragon in Tokyo, in Japan. What else?
He's got can-can dancers in France. There's a herd of buffalo.
Buffalo. It's great. It's going to be absolutely amazing to see.
In fact, Joe was an intern here in 99. So he helped. We were like, well, how can we do this? And he said, well, I can tell you what, we can make a puppet out of that and use all the people to do it. And that way it drops the suggestion to the audience and the audience kind of takes it from there. So he's recreated, revamped, and redone everything. Having done it once, he was like, you know what? This would be fun if we did it this way.
Well, and he probably brings a few more years of expertise to all of this.
Boy, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's been around and done a lot of it.
He's been doing this for a bit.
You mentioned taking audience suggestions. These productions that ETC does for the holidays often involve some interaction with the audience, and I presume that's an element of this one again.
Yes, mm-hmm. That happens a couple of times in this show.
Can you give me an example of a moment when that happens in this show?
A moment that happens is when we confront the bandits, and I go to the audience and I tell the audience when they hear a whip to start stomping. And that also creates the sound for the buffaloes to enter.
Okay, so they do get involved in the producing the show itself. Mm-hmm. These shows, people may think because they're based on fairy tales and that sort of thing, that they are really shows that are for children. And they are obviously something that children will enjoy. I know that over the past several weeks, you've been having a lot of school audiences come in to see them. But these are also productions that adults can enjoy. At least that's been my experience with them. Talk a little bit about how the script that Joe McDonough has written, what about it might make it an enjoyable kind of thing for grown-ups?
The things for grown-ups are, well, the themes of that money can't buy everything. And if you don't get out and experience the world, then you'll never learn what love is. And on the way, Phileas, he finds love and he realizes, you know what, money isn't everything, that I still can accomplish things. And those are the kind of the themes that adults get. Whereas children enjoy somebody like a sumo wrestler throwing passepartout across the stage.
And how do you feel about that?
It's a lot of fun. It's actually, it's great. It's human and puppet interaction. And I think that adults enjoy that just as much as kids do. So you get the bridge right there, I suppose.
Well, especially for the holidays, I guess we all feel a little more childlike, perhaps. So it makes it all the more fun to do that.
I hope so.
You have played, Michael, an interesting array of characters, sometimes sort of villainous characters. And Passepartout is not a villainous character in this. He maybe makes a little trouble occasionally. But have you enjoyed playing this role this time around? Are you having a good time with it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, he has interactions now with different things that he didn't have the first time through. And I don't want to tell you what all those are.
No.
But
no.
They're a lot of fun. Yeah, he bumbles a little bit sometimes, but he has the best of intentions, and he's trying to take care of Phileas because that's his job. He's trying to look out for him.
Yeah. And how does Phileas feel about Passepartout? Is he fully appreciative of him?
I think he's very appreciative of Passepartout. Passepartout plays a big part in his life. And I think that's one of the reasons why he takes him around the world with him, because he can count on him and he trusts him.
And as actors working together, can you say the same?
Oh, yeah. For me, this is an ideal show because I love working with Ken a lot. We have a lot of fun together. We play a lot together. So being able to support each other and be put into situations like that on a show like this is great fun for me.
As you're rehearsing for this, I presume there's a little bit of goofing around that goes on, too.
We've held up a couple of rehearsals so far, yeah.
Does the business that is involved in doing that ever actually get incorporated into the show itself?
Sometimes it does.
It does. Sometimes it depends if it's good and isn't off color. It doesn't have foul language or something in it.
There will be children present.
Oftentimes, right? Oftentimes the stuff that we do is physical or because there's just a couple of things that when you're clowning around, someone says, hey, work that out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Try that again. How'd you fall on that table? What'd you do over there? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that it really does, there's freedom to play.
So it's sort of be careful what you wish for, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thought that was funny? Well, you get to keep doing
it.
You know what?
We're having a problem. This doesn't work. Somebody make something up. You, get over here. Ken, what do you think?
We go back and forth. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It really is.
Well, I suppose that Phileas Fogg and Passepartout's travels around the world are a bit about improvisation, too. So maybe there's some basis for winging it as it happens.
He does learn how to accept things, the inevitable, and we've got to figure it out and work our way through.
Well, Around the World in 80 Days opens on Wednesday and continues through January 4th. It's a lot of fun for the holidays. It's worth mentioning that curtain times are adjusted a bit earlier to be family-friendly, with 7 p.m. curtains most evenings. There are also weekend matinees and a 6 p.m. start time on Sundays. You'll find more information and a link to Ensemble Theater Cincinnati at WVXU.org. My guests this evening have been Ken Early and Michael Bath, known for the next month as adventurer Phileas Fogg and his resourceful assistant, Passepartout. Gentlemen, I think your hot air balloon is waiting for you just outside the studio. Don't delay. You have a bet to win.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.